Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
December 2nd, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, holiday group shots. Welcome back to another Digital Story, and welcome to December. We're right in the middle of the holiday season now, and I thought we'd talk a little bit today about group shots, both taking group shots for possible holiday cards and so forth to send to friends and family, and then also taking group shots as part of your holiday gathering to make sure that, you know, you got a record of everyone that was there, and maybe even with a little fun and artistic flair to boot. So I have some tips today for taking group shots, and I thought I'd go over that list with you to make sure that if you're the one behind the camera at the holiday gathering or getting ready to make a holiday card, that you can get the best shot possible. So I have basically 10 little items here, and I'm going to go over for you. Also, a photo assignment for December that's going to be hooked into this, and that's part of a whole nother thing, but I'll talk about that in the second part of the show. Now, the first thing I want to mention about group shots is that, in my mind, there are basically two different types. There's the standard group shot, which is the record of the people who were at a particular place and time. And then there's the fun group shot that has a little bit more personality and verve. Now, what I recommend whenever you're doing group shots, and especially if you're at an event, that you do both. If you have time, you do both. So in other words, start out, because everyone's a little stiff in the beginning. People generally don't like having their picture taken. Most people don't. And so then, you know, you just multiply that by however many people you have in the shot. And there's usually a little resistance, a little nervousness in the beginning. Now, one way that I get around that, and especially if I'm doing a wedding reception or something like that, and if people are having a little beer, a little wine, something as part of the celebration, I often let them have a drink first, you know, let them kind of get loose a little bit, get in the flow of the day, get in the flow of the event, and then do the group shot. And a lot of times that will actually help with this, you know, this kind of stiff posture that you get when you're putting people together. But at any rate, you don't always have the luxury of timing things a particular way or not. So another thing that does help people loosen up a little bit is to get a couple successful shots under the belt. In other words, you know, you take a shot and you go, oh my gosh, you guys look great. This is a fabulous looking group here that we have. That does help people relax. That does help them feel better about the group shot. And in fact, the whole time as a photographer, when you're working a group shot, you know, you really want to be encouraging. You really want to mention how good everyone looks. You really want to mention what a handsome group this is. You know, things like that. It sounds corny, as I tell you right now, as you know, during the podcast, but believe it or not, it really works. Even if people know that maybe you're erring a little bit on the side of flattery, they still like it. They still like it, and it still helps them be at ease when you point the camera at them. So you want to get that first shot out of the way, that first group shot, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about arranging and all that kind of stuff. Then after that, I suggest doing a fun shot too. And you know, my favorite thing for the fun group shot is just to tell people to squish together, to just lean in together, to push against each other. And when you have folks do that, interesting things happen. People start to smile. People start to maybe lose their balance a little bit. Arms start to go up in the air. Lots of good things happen. And so, you know, my favorite, you know, when I want to get people going is to say, you know, squish together, come on, I want to see press the flesh there. And that is a good way to get a fun group shot going. Now, there's all sorts of things that you can do, and it really depends on, you know, the group that you have to work with in terms of, you know, sometimes people will want to strike a pose, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the main thing is if you get them pushing together, you get them moving a little bit, then that second group shot, that fun one, a lot of times will look terrific. Generally speaking, I like the fun shot better than the standard, you know, the stiff shot, as I call it. But when I show people pictures, group shots, I usually, you know, show my favorite of each, because not everyone likes the fun shot as much as I do. And some folks really want, you know, kind of the more formal look. But take both, if you have time, take both the standard shot and the fun one. And that's tip number one. Now, if you're working outdoors, I suggest that you use fill flash. Indoors, you're probably going to have to use flash anyway, and your camera will either automatically turn it on or you'll have to turn it on. But I like to use fill flash outdoors also. And the reason being is that, you know, one of the important things about a group shot is to see everyone's face clearly. And so, you know, lighting has a lot to do with that. And if the light is coming from a different direction, then some folks will, you know, be better illuminated than others. So I like to use a fill flash outdoors. If you have a compact camera, then you'll have to go with the flash that's on your camera. So make sure that you're within flash range, right, which is usually 8 to 10 feet. And then just turn on the flash, you know, force it to fire. And that's, you know, when you cycle through your different flash settings, it'll be the one that's, you know, manual flash on or flash on, as it's called. If you're using a digital SLR and you have an external flash for it, that's a better way to go because it's usually more powerful. And in fact, if you have an extension cord or you can put it on a bracket and get that flash up a little higher, even better. But make sure you're within range. Use fill flash, and it brings that light in from the front. It gives everyone a nice, even illumination, and you can see people's faces. It also adds a little twinkle to the eyes. So I almost always will use fill flash when I'm doing group shots indoors or out. When you're positioning people, make sure that you get them close together. Generally speaking, when people first line up for a group shot, they stand too far apart. Again, part of this is just their nervousness. Part of it is kind of just their body space, you know, their body awareness thing, all that sort of stuff. The problem is, as we all know, that a little bit of distance in real life usually equates to a big distance. In photography. So you want to make sure that you get people close together. Now, also, another reason to get people close together is obviously to have them fit into the frame. Now, most cameras, for instance, if you're shooting with a digital SLR and your final output is going to be, let's say, 8x10, well, keep in mind that an 8x10 is much more of a square format. You know, it's much closer to a square format than what you're seeing in the viewfinder. So I like to leave a little extra room on both sides of the group shot, just, you know, where there aren't any people. Leave a little extra space on both sides. That way, when I'm on the computer, and if I have to crop the image to fit a certain paper size, then I have room to do that. You're running a little risk of having a problem if you have people running all the way to the edge of, you know, both sides on the group shot, because then you're really limited on, you know, the different paper formats that you can use to make the print. So leave a little extra space, and then that's another excuse to, you know, kind of push people together, get them to squish together, get them as close as they can get, even for the standard shot. It'll just look better. Once you have everyone together, make sure you can see their faces. That's very important because, boy, you know, this just happened to me. Early in my photography career, I actually shot my uncle's wedding, and they've been married for decades now. And it was one of my first wedding shoots, and I did a pretty good job on it. But it came up at a family gathering I was just at. And the bride said, you know, someone asked her, well, how did he do on his first wedding shoot? Someone that hadn't been at the wedding. And she goes, oh, he did okay, except for the big group shot where someone was, partially covering my face, and she was the bride. And I never had really realized that had happened. And so she goes, yeah, my mom, every time she sees that shot, she curses, oh, that darn photographer. And I never found that out until, just this last Thanksgiving holiday. So at any rate, it's very important that you can see everyone's face, and you just have to stop before you take the shot and just look at the whole group and make sure that you can clearly see everyone's face. And a lot of times I'll say, make sure that you can see me, make sure you can see the camera, because if you can't see the camera can't see you. And this is something that you just have to stop and do. Just make sure that everyone is, visible. And if you have to make a little adjustment, then that's the time to do it, because it's much easier, obviously, to take care of that while you're taking the shot and then try to do something later on in post-production. Now, there's a couple ways you can do that for larger group shots, of course. One trick that I do a lot of times is that if I don't have, risers or anything to put people on, then I'll get high. I'll stand on a little step ladder or, a little ledge, whatever I have available to me. But it's easier to get everyone's faces if you go up a little higher and kind of shoot down. If you're all at the same height, then that's more difficult, and it's easier to get people's faces covered up. So, a trick is if it's a large group shot and you're having problems with that, then you go higher. Find something, safe to stand on. Don't put yourself at risk there. But find something safe to stand on and go high, and it'll make it a lot easier to get everyone's face in the shot. Of course, if you have steps or a little hill or something where you can, alter the heights of the folks that are in the shot, then that's kind of cool too. But we don't always have that luxury to, put people on risers, or there aren't always steps around that we can use. So going high is like the one thing that you can always do, stand on something and shoot down. Now, the other thing that's really important when you're shooting these shots is to make sure that you take more than one shot. This is very important. And the more people that you have in the group, the more important it is that you take multiple exposures, because the odds of someone looking away or blinking or, a child raising their hand really quick or something like that, they increases with the number of people that you have. So for instance, if it's a group shot of four people, you can usually get by with taking two or three shots. One of those shots should be good. But if it's a group shot with 10 people or 12 people, then I really like to take five or six exposures, because the odds of someone looking away go up dramatically, and you really do want everyone looking at the camera and looking their best, and a lot of times that means multiple exposures. Now, on the other side of that is that you have to work quickly. This is another tip. When you're doing a group shot, you have to work quickly. Take your shots quickly, try to get it set up as fast as you can, because what happens is people will fade on you. And once they begin to sort of get bored or get tired of this activity, you'll have a very hard time, getting expression out of them, getting energy out of them. So, be sure that you work as quickly as you can, but don't skip on the shots. I mean, all the time is getting it set up, making the actual exposures. Doesn't take that long. Hold them in place and say, okay, we're going to do, three more. Want a lot of energy. Look at the camera. Come on. Good straight shoulders, and all that kind of stuff. Kind of cheer them on. Tell them how good the shots are looking. But make sure that you get enough exposure so that you have at least one good shot. Now, as a side note to all of this, another reason that you want multiple exposures is that if you just have a person that for some reason, even if you take five or six and you still don't have that ideal group shot you want, by having multiple exposures, if you have something such as Photoshop or Photoshop Elements, one of the newer versions that have these merge technologies, you can actually put your two favorite shots side by side, select an area, and Photoshop will literally, you know, merge that good expression from the one shot into the other shot that has all good expressions except for that one person. So that's another reason to take multiple exposures, is that if you have to do something in post-production, you'll have, you know, more to work with, more content to work with, more raw material. So get those multiple shots, and then that way you know you're covered later on. Now, when you're setting up the standard shot especially, try to vary head height. So try to avoid having, you know, straight lines right across. So if everyone works out to be similar in height, then, you know, that's where maybe you want a couple people to, you know, sit on a stool or something, or kneel down, and have some folks maybe, you know, if you have like a little step or something for them to stand on, get a couple people up. But try to vary the head height so it isn't straight across. And even when I do wedding shots and we're doing the bridal corp, I always ask the bride, is it okay if we mix up the guys and gals? Because just having, you know, the very formally balanced shot with guys down one side, girls down the other, you know, bride and groom in the middle, that's okay for one shot. But the shots I usually like is where I get to mix them up, you know, play with the arrangement a little bit, have girls and guys together. To me, those shots are far more interesting than just having, you know, this one single long row. And I do like to have at least two layers to the group shot if I can, and not just one, you know, long, you know, flat shot. I think they look more interesting. A thing to keep in mind, though, when you do that, is keep an eye out for your depth of field. If you have some depth to your group shot, make sure that, you know, you're shooting at least f5.6 or f8 so that you have enough depth of field so that if you focus on one person, then a person in another layer is still in focus. I usually, since, you know, group shots don't have that much depth, I usually make sure that I'm focused on someone that's in the front row, knowing that I usually have a little bit more depth of field in the back. Make sure that I'm F5, 6, or 8, and it's usually okay. But it's something to keep in mind, something to keep in mind. Make sure that you're focusing, you know, on a person in the front row and that you have enough depth of field for the person in the second row there. And then that way you should be in pretty good shape. Now, on the fun shots, there's lots you can do. And there's one of the things that I like to do is really get even up higher. So a lot of times I like to get up on a little balcony or something and have people down below. And if you have to do a ginormous group shot, like with 20 or 30 people, then this is definitely the way to go. Get up on a balcony or somewhere where you're higher. Just get everyone en masse down below you. Have them all look up. Take a standard shot, but then do things like have them wave, have the parents, you know, hold their kids, try to get some energy in the stuff, and then applaud them afterwards. And one thing that I always do after we pull off a big group shot, I says, okay, you guys did fantastic. Give yourselves a big round of applause. And it's really, it's a nice kind of ending to the thing. Everyone claps and cheers and feeling like that they've made something really nice. Once the shot has been captured and you've picked out the ones that you want and so forth, make sure that the shot's available to everyone that participated. Now, if you're making a holiday card ahead of time, then be sure to send them a card so that they have it. And if it's not for a holiday card, let's say that you just recorded at the event, then I think a really nice way to go is to, you know, put it on a website, send everyone the URL so that they can go and look at it, so they can download it. If you do it on a site such as you know, Shutterfly Pro or something like that, where they can actually, you know, order prints, you know, that's fabulous. But make sure that you make the shot available to everyone. That's sort of part of the deal. And that is, you know, if folks are going to participate in the group shot, then, you know, they also want to be able to have it. Now, along with that, I think metadata for your group shots is very important. So if you can list all the folks that are in the shot, in the caption, make sure that you have the location obviously, you know, the timestamp on your camera, make sure that's set correctly so you record the right day and time and so forth. But all this information that doesn't seem important right now, 10, 15 years up the road, when people are using this for, you know, historical purposes, they're really going to want to know, you know, everyone that's in the shot, where it was taken, what the occasion was, why they were all gathered together, you know, all that kind of stuff. As time goes on, that metadata becomes very important. So make sure that you include it in your records. And if you can make it available to other folks too, all the better. So metadata is a big deal on the group shot, as well as getting that shot in everyone's hands so that they can have it too and so that they can use it. Now, in Digital Photography Companion, which is our official handbook for the digital story, I do have a section on group shots that covers most of the stuff. So if you have the book, you know, you can refer to it for your notes and you know, before you do a group shot, and that'll make sure that you cover all the points. Now, I had mentioned that another thing that I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start structuring the photo assignments a little bit more. And we're going to do this in 2009 so that we're sort of building a mini course in basic photography here. So the photo assignment for December is going to be group shot. That is the photo assignment. And so what I want are, you know, any type of a group shot that that you've taken during this season. And it doesn't have to be a holiday event. It can be something that you just put together for, you know, any reason that you want. And that's going to be the photo assignment for the month. And I'm going to go down this route a little bit more, where probably once a month I'll do a podcast on a particular technique. And then that will be the photo assignment for that month. And we're going to build a little, you know, a little body of work, a little school of photography here that you're all participating in. And that, you know, the what you submit for the photo assignment is actually going to be the things that people can look at, you know, when they listen to the podcast and try to, you know, execute these techniques on their own. So the photo assignment for December is group shot. And I think you got a nice list of tips here, and you know, it can be fun, it can be standard, it can be creative. You can do, you know, just about anything that you want, and hopefully, you know, what you submit will help other people when they're thinking about taking group shots. It'll help them, you know, come up with some new ideas. I also want to make sure that I thank our sponsors, both Boinks Software, the makers of Photomagico, and now Boinks TV, which is just great software for basically making your own video presentations easily, and Red River Paper that make all sorts of great surfaces. So if you're actually printing out these group shots yourself, take a look at some of the different surfaces that Red River Paper has. They're affordable, they're beautiful, they work with just about any inkjet printer, and you can get, you know, exactly the look and feel that you want for your prints. And of course, just keep in mind grab shots, and I think this time of year makes for some great grab shot opportunities. So if you're sitting on one, make sure you send it in. All right, so that's it for this week. Group shots, take some, be the photographer, take charge, have your camera ready to go when you go to the event. When you get a good shot, submit it for the photo assignment. And if you need a little refresher, you can listen to this podcast again or check out the Digital Photography Companion. Either way, and I will see you here next week. Good luck with those shots. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.